Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do this!
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. You know, we like to be consistent here on the show. We like to give you what you expect. Chuck and Winkler, what do these guys talk about? Well, there's some NBA, the All-Star game last night. Yeah, I mean, that's part of the show. Mike Moustakas signing with the Brewers, part of the show. Matt LaFleur going to talk today in Green Bay. That's part of the show. We're going to start with old Denny Hamlin running around in racetracks, Chuck. What did they do?
Oh, no. You know what? I didn't even know that. I remember about it until I was watching the 10 o'clock news last night. It was at the end of the... Now, or the time when Daytona almost like would lead the newscasts every night, the sportscast.
Yeah, well, it's leading Chuck and Winkler this morning. Danny Hamlin does it at Daytona International.
Well,
you know what, Chuck? Can I be honest? Can I be honest with you? I didn't know he won until you just said it in the update.
Okay. Well, you know what I thought you were going to say? You know what, Chuck? I watched the whole thing because I bet on it.
No, I have done like DraftKings on it before, and then I was going to get in a fantasy league, and I just couldn't do it. Ever since NASCAR switched to like, there's three races in one, I thought, nah, this is, I've lost me.
No. It never had me to begin with. So I just never, with all due respect to the guys who do the midday show on Saturdays, their racing show, Pipe Bomb, our buddy, does a terrific job with Zocchi. But the racing didn't get to me. But the game last night, the All-Star game. Now, Here is the day-long argument that always starts the show. People ask me yesterday, what are you guys going to talk about the All-Star game? I was out about town last night, and they said, we talk about the All-Star game tomorrow on the show? And I said, yep. Every year, there's always the debate the day after the game. Is it a game? Is it not a game? I mean, it's on every show in America. That's how it starts. Is it an exhibition? What is it? So one guy likes it. Another guy doesn't like it. And then they go back and forth. It happens every year. So, you first.
I love it. I love the All-Star game last night. I thought it was fun. You?
And, well, you know what? I take it for what it is. It's an exhibition. It's a exhibition of these guys' tremendous talents. And that's all it is. It's not a competition, obviously.
So, can we get to the root of this? Because for years it's been... The All-Star game, well, it doesn't matter. It's an it is an exhibition. It's always been an exhibition. But there must have been a time when these guys, like, sacrificed everything where representing their league was almost more important than winning their actual games for their actual team. And when we talk about this, I know it always comes up that Pete Rose took out a guy at home plate.
1970.
Okay, that was 50 years ago.
I was 3 years old.
So what did, like, I remember watching All-Star games as a kid, so growing up in the 90s, and I remember Jordan in a bunch of games, and I remember the baseball All-Star games I loved. I was so mad at the Blue Jays in 92 that they had 7 All-Stars. No, 93, because it was at the Sky Dome or whatever, and they had Paul Molitor, and I was so pissed off about that. But that wasn't like balls-to-the-walls Game 7 World Series. All-Star games have always been a chance to see your favorite guys and the superstars all play on the same field together. I don't know where these games used to be that it was like so competitive, and the fact that it is just like an exhibition game, why is that so bothersome to people?
It isn't.
A game.
But that's the thing. If you go into it thinking it is what it is.
But who goes into it thinking that it's more than that? a lot of people.
Well, people think,
but why?
Well, because you're watching it and it's like, man, you'd love to see these guys because there's so much great talent out there. You'd love to see these guys go hard after one another. But I get it. You know, Giannis had 38 points last night, but I'm looking at it like I don't want Giannis getting big run in a game like that, or Middleton, or, you know, all those other teams don't want their guys to go out there 100% because they got a whole 25 games left of the regular season and the postseason. So, yeah, do I want Giannis to go 1,000% out there? No. Because I'm what's more concerning is this game Thursday against Boston and everything that follows it, Bart. So, it is what
it
is.
Right.
I don't care.
So, but why can't there be room for this?
Well, that's fine. It is. To me, it's an exhibition. It's a showcase of their amazing talents. This is what Giannis can do. He could dunk a ball by being 10 feet above the rim like he did that pass from Kyrie. I mean, it's
Curry.
Amazing. Or was it Curry? Okay, yeah, it was Curry. You know, that sort of thing. My only problem with the All-Star game, because I take it for what it's worth, is I just wish it was Eastern Conference versus Western Conference.
Okay, that we agree on. I wish it got back to that, too.
That's all it is. But, I mean, you know, we're not going to argue about because we know what it is. And if you like it, great. If you don't like it, you know, we're not going to be breaking down the X's and O's ever of that game and how, you know, Team Giannis blew a 20-point lead. That would be foolish, but, you know, take it for its worth.
No,
it's
that wouldn't be foolish because I think he was mad about that. Because it cost him the MVP, and I saw some video of him in the locker room where he looked kind of dejected.
Okay, well, I didn't...
So we can talk about the 20-point blown lead.
Well...
Because this is an exhibition game, but Giannis took it seriously, which is why we love Giannis so much.
Yeah. I did think of that, though. When they blew the lead, I was like, man, it is costing Giannis the MVP, and it went to Kevin Durant.
He was the surefire MVP at 38 points.
But again,
so the first like 10 points, 8 of them were his.
But I will say this. Okay, had he got the MVP of the NBA All-Star game, the Bucks would have made a huge deal out of that. You know that. Oh, God. And they should.
And they should. Make a huge deal out of how him and Middleton performed anyway.
But I mean, if you were MVP of the All-Star game, you know, you would have that would have been a huge deal. I mean, I think that's still, even though it's an exhibition, it would have been a nice thing for the organization. It would have been just another good thing for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay, so we are going to sort of talk about it a little bit and not do the I'm not into exhibition game routine.
Oh, no, because it's
Danny Cannell. I saw him tweet that last night with ESPN.
He's a football player,
about
though.
He doesn't like any exhibition games. Give me the old days. Oh. I've seen other guys in the local media trashing. If you're in the local media trashing the All-Star game, hello, Giannis, the team was named after him.
Yeah, no, I think.
How are you not watching this last night?
Well, that's the deal, okay? Are you breaking down the game? No, but I mean, if you take it for what it's worth and you enjoy the athleticism of these guys and, you know, just watching how they how they offensively could perform, and some of the things they could do, that's wonderful. And
enjoy
that's
that Giannis had 38 points. Enjoy that Middleton had 20 points. Enjoy that Mike Budenholzer was the coach. Enjoy that Giannis took that bounce pass from Steph Curry and had maybe one of the best all-star games I've ever seen, all-star plays I've ever seen. Enjoy the dunks that he had. Enjoy the sequence where there were 5 baskets that were either scored by Giannis or Middleton, and on 4 of the baskets, they assisted each other when Middleton first came in. Enjoy the fact that he was 6 of 10, Middleton was, from 3. Enjoy the fact that for years, watching an all-star game, no matter the sport, you turn it on and it's, Michael Redd played for 10 minutes at 4 points. Ryan Braun went 0-for-3, but hey, Dan Kolb got in the second inning. Oh, Jordy Nelson got in late. He had like 3 catches. Enjoy the fact that the Bucks took over at least the first half of this game. All the talk in the NBA was about the Bucks. Enjoy that.
Well, here's the deal. Okay, you have 38 points. I mean, he didn't. There's going to be plays, but okay. On the other end, there's going to be plays that he's making, and Middleton got off shots that he's not going to be ever that wide open or that have that lackadaisical defense on him.
But that's not the point. The point is that the Bucks were
they're the centerpiece.
But
Giannis scoring 38, I mean, it's a really hollow. All these guys, their point totals are hollow because there's no defense. I don't look at it that way. I just look at it that, okay, it's an exhibition. You know,
there's no defense.
I don't know what you'd call that then.
I mean, I know the score was 178-164.
That's no defense. Did it go over or under?
I don't know. Usually it goes over. I didn't bet it.
Okay. But I mean, there isn't. But I've learned a long time ago that's just the way it is. And it when you're talking about watching All-Star games in the 90s, it has slowly slid into this direction over the years, over decades. It has slid into this direction. But that's fine. I didn't want Giannis to go out there and be putting in 45 minutes and working for a victory just to get an MVP. No, he got his 38 points, he had a good time, and now it's back to Thursday against the Celtics.
But in this game, you can take away that he knows more than ever his place among the superstars. He's right up there. And Middleton, hey, maybe got a little confidence shooting those threes last night. Who knows?
Yeah, well, I mean, we all know Giannis is one of the great players in the game, and here's what it did. It got people around the country on a Sunday night, if you tuned in and you had not seen Giannis any before, and it got all the sportscasts around the country to see Giannis, and they probably showed that highlight on the 10 o'clock news on the bounce pass from Curry. So, yeah, it is.
It seems to me like you're saying that you're okay with the All-Star game being the way it is, but you don't mean it.
Well, no. I'm
it feels to me like you wish Pete Rose was taking out the catcher.
No, I just told you, Bart.
Or you wish this game was 105-92 last
night. No, because I don't want Giannis and Middleton to burn themselves up in a meaningless game.
Okay.
That's what I care about. I've said that. I don't want Giannis, he got his 38 points, but did he really have to bust his ass for 38? No. Not like he would if he's playing the Celtics or anybody else. So, yeah, nobody got hurt. From the Bucks, at least, that's what neither one of those guys, in their run last night got hurt. And, yeah, All-Star Weekend is behind us, and I'm sure that's the same thing that everybody else in the Bucks organization felt. Hey, great exhibition. Now nobody got hurt. That's the main thing. Time to get on with the season. And bigger fish to fry.
Lots to get to today. Mike Moustakas back with the crew. We'll get into that around 7 o'clock. Matt LaFleur to speak today. We'll sort of preview what we're expecting. No Mark Murphy sitting there next to him, as far as we know.
Yeah, I was going to say, if LaFleur's going to talk, hopefully Murphy's going to be sitting in the corner somewhere.
Yeah, no opening act this time.
It's like the days of the old wrestling when a wrestler would come out there and a manager would do all the talking for the wrestler because the wrestler wasn't good on the mic.
So Matt LaFleur is Brock Lesnar and
yes.
Murphy is Paul Heyman.
Yes, Heyman is in the corner today.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get into that much later in the show. 799-1250. Tim is in New Berlin. What's up, Tim?
Hi, Tim.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I heard everyone made it to safe, and Freems is stuck in Lomira, but I made it to the gym today, so that's good.
I'm not stuck in Lomira.
You're not? Okay, well, misinformation, fake news.
Who would say that I'm stuck in Lomira?
I don't know.
Oh, not in this show.
Okay. No, we made it in. That's good. Lots of snow out there. But great exhibition game by the Bucks and Giannis for sure. I believe it is a game still. I think they played it right. Hopefully we can have one in the Pfizer Forum. Giannis put on a show. He was great. He is the MVP of the league.
Yeah.
So it was great. It was awesome.
I'm jacked for it to come to Chicago next year. Want to go down there for this.
I'm thinking about that.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going.
I'm thinking that's great. I'm thinking that, I'm definitely going to go to that and go down there and see what it's all about. But, yeah, if it comes here to 2022, it's a huge thing for Milwaukee. It is. To have the All-Star Weekend in downtown Milwaukee, that'll be a big event. And I guarantee it, nobody will be taking that lightly. That'll be a big deal for it to come here.
Can we do our show from down there? Because Friday there were press conferences early in the morning. Saturday there's a practice. We could do a special Saturday show.
Yeah, I haven't even thought that far ahead.
Well, I'm always a year in advance.
Okay.
It is 2020 in my head already.
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking Boston and the Bucks on Thursday and the NBA playoffs. And last night, listened to a lot of national sports talk. And what people had to say about the Milwaukee Bucks, and people look at the Bucks and they see Giannis play and they say, well, you know what? Hey, this Bucks team, You know, they with the addition of Mirotić, they're going to be right there to compete for an NBA championship. Not just going to the finals, but when people are talking about them, I just want them to, you know, go as far as they can go. And yeah, but I heard a lot of national people this weekend talk about how good the Bucks were.
Well, it was just an exhibition game. I mean, nobody's trying to convince you otherwise of that. But I think there are things that you can take from this game that can be applied to the rest of the season. And we'll talk about those things with you coming up. 414-799-1250. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Here's Curry with a high bounce pass.
Yes! Coverage on TNT last night. Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios of the NBA All-Star Game. Team LeBron now 2-0 in these contests. The first year they went to the captain format was last year. Team LeBron versus Team Stephen, technically. And last night, Team LeBron versus Team Giannis. Team Giannis out to a big lead, and then they blow the lead. So where did you think the game went wrong for Team Giannis in the third quarter?
Didn't score enough points.
Okay, that's...
Didn't score enough points. Let's see here.
Fair.
What was this? Yeah, LeBron's team scored 50. And Giannis, 36, man. That's incredible. But a few things, like the halftime show. Who was that at halftime?
J. Cole.
Okay. Don't know who that is.
I do, but I won't blame you for not knowing music. I watched the Grammys 2 weeks ago. I didn't know who anybody
Yeah. was. And maybe because I just listened to too much sports radio. I think maybe that has something to do with it. But, yeah, I didn't know who that was. But. You know, what I thought was cool was the introductions. I mean, the introductions are almost better than the game itself. When they put those guys on the stage like that, and they gave Giannis a big introduction, and Bud was up there. I mean, that's all cool. But yeah, I'm glad. Like I said, we're past it, and we can move forward to the actual game, and are the games resume the regular season games.
I'm just glad they got his name right this time. Kevin Hart made a big joke about it when he did the introductions a while back about how he couldn't say Antetokounmpo, which always, if you're still saying that as comedy, I think that's kind of lame. Giannis, with the big night he had last night, there's a reporter in the media asking LeBron and Durant about Giannis still. I mean, how do you cover this league and still call him Giannis?
Yeah, well. Brett Brown, the coach of Philadelphia, was calling him that for years. Because I usually do the Sixers post-game press conference when they're in town. The visiting team. And then he was always, I mean, up until this year, Giannis. Well, Giannis is a tough cover. Giannis. And it's like, God, he'd get so... Nobody would ever correct him. And it wasn't my place to correct him. But it's like, man, here's another coach of the Eastern Conference, you know, on one of the heavy hitter teams. And he's still... Can't pronounce Giannis's name right.
But nobody ever called him that. It was like Antetokounmpo is the one you screw up.
Yeah.
Giannis. Giannis is fact that people are still doing it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, if he played at the Knicks or he played at the Lakers, everybody get his name right.
His name was the name of the team.
Yeah.
Team Giannis.
Yeah.
How do you not get there? 799-1250. Team Giannis losing last night.
I heard him called Team Genis.
Who?
Oh, one of the national networks I was listening to last night.
Oh, my God.
Genis. And they're making Giannis, Genis. No. He's going to be the MVP, hopefully. But with people talking like that, get the name right.
Right. Giannis. You know? Team Giannis. 799-1250. KJ's in West Dallas. What's up, KJ?
Aloha, friends and legs.
Hey, KJ.
Aloha, KJ.
Hey, it was great to watch the two Bucks showcase their talents and score 58 points between the two of them. That was awesome. There were a lot of things that I thought were interesting about that game. Even the process of picking the teams, I noticed that LeBron, when he picked his team, he picked most of the free agents. So you can't tell me that he's not schmoozing a little bit with those guys, you know, before the game. And
he said he wasn't. He said he wasn't, but yeah. I am not buying it.
No, I'm not buying that either. And, you know, I think where it went wrong was...
you do want to break down the game.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
A couple of things I observed. Russell Westbrook, man, the guy is a ball hog. I mean, he shot him out the game. He does that a lot for his own team, too.
Russell Westbrook.
20 shots.
He took a lot of, twice, I can tell you twice, he had a shot at the rim and dished it out instead for an open three.
No, Westbrook, man, he wants his. That's not surprising. The guy's a reserve, and he had almost as many points as two of the starters for Team Giannis.
So, well, can I just get this clear? We are now going to break down the game.
We'll lose people quickly.
No, I'm not going to break it all down. I just a couple of observations.
Okay.
The other observation I had was Embiid. The guy's lazy. He's lazy. He didn't play any defense. He looked like he didn't even want to be on the court.
Okay, but I'll say, KJ, don't read into that. Yeah, he does have a laziness streak. There's no doubt about that, but I wouldn't put that into effect in the All-Star game.
No, I just think that there's a rift that was reported between he and Westbrook to begin with, being on the same team, and they even asked Westbrook about it. What do you think about being on the same team as Embiid? And he didn't want to respond to that. You know, just a couple of things, you know, that I thought were interesting in the third and fourth quarter. You know, and they're double-teaming Steph Curry, so you can't tell me that they weren't playing any defense, because that was a big factor going down the stretch there. You're double-teaming him.
4-17 from beyond the arc. Curry had an off. That's off night for him.
Yeah. And the other thing I thought was really cool was the 30-minute piece that they did on Giannis on Saturday night. That was awesome, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, friends, did you see any of that?
No, it was not around for Saturday night.
Okay, KJ, aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you, bud. Saturday night, TNT aired, and you can still watch it on Bucks.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 21 minutes of runtime, so a 30-minute show with commercials. Just kind of a history about how Giannis was discovered. They focused a lot on his two agents, the one that lives in Greece and then the one that lives here in Chicago. And 6:50 this morning, I'm going to play you some clips, and I want to know what you think of the agent.
Okay. Now, I've never heard the one here in town? Not in town, in the United States?
There's one in Chicago. I didn't know anything about him. This is my first time ever seeing him.
Yeah.
I'm obviously playing the clips for a reason, but I'll let you come to your own determination on what you think of this.
First, I've heard of him, too.
Yeah, I haven't heard of him either, and I can't say his name. So
yeah.
I don't know. He's also of Greek heritage, which Giannis didn't know at first. And then they discovered it, and then they became fast friends. Because when Giannis came over here, he knew nobody. He only came over here with one brother.
Yeah.
They were unsure that their parents were ever going to get over here. So it was good. It's definitely worth watching Giannis with a 30-minute piece on national TV.
I know Giannis, and he talked about, like, Friday night, he wasn't even at the All-Star festivities yet because I knew he was going to go to the Racine St. Catharines Dominican game at the Dominican in Whitefish Bay to see his brother play.
So he did go to that?
Well, no, I knew that was his plans. I don't know if he lived it out, but I know the rumblings were that he was going to go to the game because he's gone to see his brother play on off nights, and he's gone with Coach Bud.
Yeah.
They've gone together, but I didn't know if it sounded like that he was going to go to the game. I don't know if he did or not, but so he wasn't going to get to the All-Star weekend on Saturday when he was going to go to watch Middleton play.
I know he was there on Saturday morning because he did the press conference, and then he was definitely there Saturday night to watch Middleton in the three-point shooting contest.
Yeah, and he could have flown down, too, with, you know, the owners. Bucks owners got their own private plane, so he could have.
Although Lazary played in the celebrity game on Friday.
Yeah, but that plane could have came back, got Giannis, and took him back to out to Charlotte.
That's a lot of logistics.
Yeah, well, those guys, the owners of the Bucks, they've been known to be at a Bucks game, okay, fly back to New York and sleep, and come back the next morning for an event in Milwaukee.
That is true. They do
so that. So that plane, you know, that Team Lazary, we'll call it Flight Plane Lazary or whatever it is, goes everywhere.
Well, who's in charge right now? Edens? Edens is the governor, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever they say.
I guess. And then that changes.
Yeah.
And Dynan, I don't know when he gets his shot at things.
I'm not sure ever. Yeah. Rogers?
Aaron?
Yeah.
Well, he's way down. I don't think he gets... He just gets
seasoned. What about me, Chuck?
I think he just...
When do I get my call?
I think he just gets... Oh, that guy.
I just want one call.
Hey.
If
that guy's making any decisions about the Bucks, and that guy's really got some power in this town.
But I'm a minority owner, Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
When do I get my shake?
When is he going to take... So after he retires from being an attorney, does he buy out the other two? Three. And he becomes the majority owner.
Just give me one shot there, Frames.
He's going to own this town. He's already taken over.
I just need one ball. Yeah. That's all. Yeah. I'll take my shot.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
David Gruber Theater, ladies and gentlemen. David Gruber.
Who's getting more free advertising on our show
than real advertising on the stations he pays to be on.
He's getting more run here. Yes. And our 80,000-plus listeners every day.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll talk more about the national impact of the Milwaukee Bucks, Ben Golliver, Washington Post. And then I've got to play these clips for you of Giannis's agent.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you, I don't like the guy.
Well, we'll hear. Let me hear him. We'll talk. And of course, we're going to get to Mike Moustakas later in the show, around 7 o'clock. And, yeah, he's coming back. That's a great thing. That's the best news I got all weekend.
Disagree. I don't like it.
I love it. Oh, really?
7 o'clock.
Game on at 7 o'clock.
It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Mike Moustakas is back with the Brewers. We'll talk about that. Get your reaction at 7 o'clock. And if you think that is enough to put this team back on top in the NL Central. The Bucks are currently on top in the Eastern Conference Central Division. Well, they're on top of the Eastern Conference, and they're doing it with a lack of drama. Ben Golliver, Washington Post, recently wrote an article about how the Bucks are kind of boring. They're bland in terms of the drama aspect, but with this Bucks team, there's some drama that could unfold over the coming months. They have some things working against them. Just historically, they haven't won a first-round playoff series in 17, 18 years. This team completely removed from those teams. But that, you know, there's that curse. You do have people thinking, okay, well, Mike Budenholzer has taken a team 60 wins in the East before. Let's see what happens in the playoffs. Maybe they don't have enough shooting. Maybe they need Chris Middleton to play like an all-star and not mediocre as he's been at times this season. What do you think over the next couple of weeks here, a couple of months before the playoffs do start, where do the Bucks have to tweak themselves and get better so that they can sustain a long playoff run?
Well, you know, the first thing on the coach Bud's skepticism, I mean, remember that 60-win Hawks team, they fell apart because of injuries. I mean, that was really their downfall, and it was an ugly ending for them getting swept by LeBron and the Cavaliers, but I don't think that was sort of an accurate portrayal of what that team could be in the playoffs. And I think people love to cite that team as, oh, you know, they got everybody's hopes up and then they let people down. It's like, well, when half your team gets injured, you know, that's a little tough. But, you know, in terms of this year's Bucks, remember that Giannis has had his minutes scaled back so much this season. The last time I checked, he was playing 33 minutes a night. I mean, that is so far below what superstars play in the postseason. And I think that's one reason why I'm really bullish on what Milwaukee can do in terms of making a deep run, because the longer you keep Giannis on the court, the more the positive impact that superstar player is going to have. And, you know, I understand it's very rare for a team to go from like a first round and out all the way to the finals or all the way to, you know, deep to the conference finals. But it's also rare to have the best player in the conference. And to me, when we're looking around the East, you know, I understand the arguments for Kawhi Leonard or Joel Embiid, but if we're talking about total overall impact, and, you know, how it's translating to team success on both offense and defense, to me, the answer is Giannis, and that's pretty simple. And I think for them, they should expect to win a first-round series easily, you know, given the quality of the matchup they're going to be in, whether it's the 1-8 or the 2-7. And from there, they've got questions, but so do everybody else. I mean, Boston's got chemistry questions. Philly's got to put their whole roster together here after the deadline. You know, you look at Toronto, Milwaukee's own Toronto this year in the head-to-head matchups too. And I think one advantage that the Bucks have that some of those other teams don't have, I don't see them splintering because of ego purposes or because of personality conflicts or fights over the ball. The way they play has the benefit of keeping everybody happy because the ball moves and because everyone knows who the superstar is. There's no real questions about roles. There's no tug of war over whose ball it should be. And I think teams like the Sixers and the Celtics are, especially, are going to run into those questions. Or even the Raptors, you know, when they get late in games, it seems like the whole thing slows down. Kawhi dribbles and he throws up a contested shot. And that's not a lot of fun for your teammates to watch. And when I look at the Milwaukee Bucks, I think they've got the chemistry factor and the fit factor with their roster that maybe would make up for some of the bigger talents that other rosters have.
Okay, so you think that there's a couple of teams there in the Eastern Conference that you can see, even though they have some talent, that there might be some selfish attitudes that might cost these guys a few games in the postseason.
Well, we know in the postseason that things get really tense, right? I mean, we've seen LeBron James go at his coaches before, whether it's David Blatt or whoever else. We've seen guys, you know, fight over the ball. I mean, it just happens. The pressure is magnified. And when you've got some not very clean fits, I mean, look at Philly. There's a lot of mouths to feed in Philly, especially after that Tobias Harris trade. And you've got some guys who don't want the ball late in games, like Ben Simmons, because, you know, he doesn't want to shoot the free throws, doesn't want to shoot the jumpers. And so you're going to have real questions. What are you trying to do in those pressure-packed moments? Who's going to step forward? That's an open question for them. Same thing in Boston. I mean, all we're hearing about is how the players and their post-game comments are just so miserable. And, you know, Kyrie Irving might be leaving or he might not be leaving. And he doesn't owe you anything. And he's always trying to make these negative headlines. You just don't hear that from the Milwaukee Bucks. And I wrote this in my story, but, you know, if the NBA is kind of a soap opera these days, and the Bucks are a terrible soap opera because they have no drama. All they do is go out there and win basketball games, and they seem to like each other, and they play basketball the right way in very San Antonio Spurs, you know, Coach Bud-like fashion. And I think that makes for a bad soap opera, but a great basketball team. And ultimately, when I'm looking at, you know, postseason matchups, I want to know which teams are going to be able to play to their potentials, which teams are not going to beat themselves. And to me, that's the Milwaukee Bucks. And I could easily see a team like Philly or a team like Boston, you know, if they hit some adversity, you know, there being some implosion potential.
Talking with Ben Golliver, NBA reporter, Washington Post, there is a lot of a lack of drama with this Bucks team. They are winning. And basically, when we get on the show to talk Bucks, it's, all right, tell me how super they are. And then Tuesday's show will be, tell me how great they are. And then Wednesday's show will be, tell me how awesome they are. Because they are playing very well and playing very consistent. There is, however, Ben, one topic with this team that does bring up drama, at least with our listeners and our callers, and that is Chris Middleton, where Chris Middleton is an all-star, but I think that Bucks fans have kind of viewed him. They want him to be a true number two. They want him to. They've been trying to trade him for Bradley Beal for the last five seasons. They always want to improve, even though the Bucks are 43-14. They're always trying to improve that second spot on the Bucks. I think a lot of Bucks fans also don't want to pay him $30 million if he is going to be earning the max if the Bucks do want to keep him. I just think that he's such a nice compliment to Giannis that you try to keep this together as long as you can, and I'm not convinced that one of these other superstars will actually come to Milwaukee even if they say they want to play with Giannis. So how do you view Chris Middleton? Is he deserving of the All-Star nod that he got? And what kind of offseason should we expect from him financially?
Yeah, I was glad he got the All-Star. I mean, this might not have been a perfect season for him, but it did feel a little bit like a career achievement award. He's always been like kind of on that borderline All-Star level. And to me, the sacrifices that he's made in terms of, you know, sliding in comfortably as the number two guy, not rubbing up against Giannis, not trying to take away that shine, don't take that stuff for granted because that's really hard to find in today's NBA. But I understand what your callers are saying. I mean, you really like or you love Chris Middleton at his current contract number, but the idea of paying him almost double or whatever it would be, you know, on the new deal, it does make your skin crawl a little bit because now you're locking into that core. And, you know, if he's not that top 10 player or top 15 player, it makes you nervous about whether you'd be able to win a title. But I'm with you. I mean, I was stunned when Anthony Davis put the Milwaukee Bucks on his list. I loved it. It made me fantasize about what a Giannis and Anthony Davis partnership could look like. But the Bucks have some serious challenges when it comes to recruiting outside talent. And I think that's why you've got to give the front office a lot of credit here. I mean, they've made some really calculated additions, whether it was the Eric Bledsoe trade, the Brook Lopez signing, you know, right down the list of guys who fit well and who would be likely to re-sign in Milwaukee if, you know, they were feeling satisfied and they were finding success on the court. And, you know, they're at a very interesting juncture this summer after the postseason where basically half the roster is free agents and they're going to be able to sort of pick and choose which of those guys they want to keep in town. I would actually be surprised if there was a ton of outside interest in Chris Middleton, you know, in terms of those really big, crazy contracts. I mean, I understand that, you know, he's probably a top 10 free agent on this summer's market, but he's not a guy who's going to carry a team by himself. He makes the most sense playing along a superstar as a number two guy. And then, of course, he's already expressed interest in sticking around in Milwaukee, which, you know, that could signal some teams, hey, we should go look at some, you know, other comparable players. So I think, you know, long-term, big picture, he's going to still be there. I do think there's going to be some sticker shock once he signs his contract, but that's the nature of the beast in the NBA. I mean, these guys play well, they earn all-star nods, and then they get paid. And you just hope that his body can hold up here, you know, throughout the course of that next deal. That goes back to Coach Bud. I mean, he's really keeping the minutes off these guys in a way that Jason Kidd and Joe Prunty just didn't. I mean, they're definitely even being given nights off at times, you know, for strategic resting purposes. I love to see that. That's how sort of the top shelf, you know, A-list contenders handle things. And it's nice to see Milwaukee, you know, adapt some of those attitudes after, you know, running these guys into the ground basically the last few years.
Ben Golliver, Washington Post. You can follow him at Ben Golliver. Nice to talk to a national guy that is that confident and optimistic, I should say, about the Bucks. Also nice to talk to a national guy that knows how to pronounce Giannis. It ain't G Giannis. It's Giannis.
Well, as long as they pronounce his name right, and when the Bucks win an NBA championship under Giannis.
I'm not so sure they will.
What's that?
Pronounce his name right.
Oh, I don't, you know.
He could be the new logo. They'll still get it wrong.
Well, I don't know. All I care about is, you know, again, what's he going to do for our team and our city? And so far, so good in that area.
Right, and I care about him staying here for the duration of his career, which I've come to the point that I think that it's going to happen until Saturday night when I was watching TNT in the special called Finding Giannis, and I got a little skeeved out by somebody that Giannis associates himself with. We'll hear some clips from that show coming up if you missed it. And I want to see if you have the same reaction frames that I do. It's Chuck and Winkler, that next on The Fan.
Here's Curry with a high bounce pass. Oh!
Steph Curry with a bounce pass that goes really to the top of the backboard, and then Giannis times it to slam it down for an alley-oop that I've never seen before, at least in the NBA competition. Giannis also tried to, on a free throw it off the backboard and then have a slam dunk.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
No.
It's got to hit the rim, first of all.
Was he...
Lane violation.
I can't think that he thought he could hit it off the backboard, catch it, and shoot.
I think in an all-star game it was worth a try.
No, it isn't. Not if you know it. Because if he got to the regular season and thought that, it would be like, Giannis, come on. Really? How long you been here? No.
Well, Donovan McNabb didn't know that football games ended in ties. So
well, yeah.
Sometimes that's, rules do escape the player.
You know, we made fun of him forever. But Giannis, no. I would think that he knows the ball's got to hit rim for future reference.
Thank goodness that the team Giannis didn't lose by just 1 point or he'd look real foolish.
No, I think if he thought that he could hit it off the backboard and catch it. If he really thinks that, Giannis, don't tell anybody.
All right, make sure, Chuck, at some point, Chuck and Winkler, I'm Bart, that's Chuck on The Fan, you go watch this Finding Giannis special. It's a real good look at how he was discovered. And not so much from the Bucks. John Hammond was just in it for a brief moment as a video clip. But they talked to two guys, his agent in Greece, and then the business partner agent that lives in Chicago by the name of Alex Saritsis. I don't know. But he's a guy, you know, he's got the shaved side head and then the little flip on top, and he wears... Shirt's a size too small, so I'm already judging this guy based on how he looks.
Older guy, younger guy?
I would say he's about my age.
Okay.
Maybe a little older, maybe
mid-40s, early 40s.
Somewhere in his 30s.
All right.
Maybe. So Giannis is communicating with this guy in America when he comes over here, and he didn't come here until the night of the draft, and he doesn't know this guy. He just talked to him on the phone. And the agent, whose voice you'll hear, and Giannis, whose voice you'll also hear, they recall the first time they met, and I'm already getting some bad vibes based on the retelling of this story. This is from Finding Giannis.
The first time we met...
New York?
Yeah, you got off the plane.
Yeah, we got off the... Yeah, the night before the draft. It was weird, you know, because I didn't know you were Greek.
Yeah. You didn't know I spoke Greek?
Yeah.
Το σπίτι μου το κλείσεις.
Ναι, το κλείσει.
Το NBA το πλέον αυτό.
Όχι. In Greek, we have this term, malaka, which is, it can mean anything from asshole to friend to anything you can think of. And he looks at me, he's like, malaka, είσαι Ελληνάς. He's like, you're really Greek. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm really Greek.
Φίλε, να σε πάρεις 5-10 λεπτάκια.
At this point, I speak 4 languages fluently. I speak another one halfway decently. That's English.
First of all, that joke is super lame. Continue.
All right.
Hang on.
I think the strength of our relationship has been the fact we speak the same language, that we're from the same country.
If we're sitting in a meeting and he doesn't like something, he could say it to me in Greek. We can keep a very straight face, mm-hmm. and no one has any idea, right? And I think that...
We're really good at it.
Do you get any impression from this guy so far?
Here's the problem I have. The Giannis really... It sounds like he came over here and someone just... Did he look this name up at all? Who gave him this agent? How did he track down this agent?
So the guy that discovered Giannis in Greece is a Greek guy.
Okay.
He found Giannis, and he started working with Giannis to get him exposure, and then his contact in America is this guy, Alex.
Okay. Does this guy have any other clients in the NBA or anywhere?
I don't think so.
Okay. That's a little... Could be a little bit of a worrisome thing. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just hope that, you know, he's fairly honest. I mean, the Bucks got a nice deal out of this. If that guy negotiated the 4-year, $100 million deal, that was good to the Bucks.
The vibe I get from this guy is that, ooh, foreigner lands, I'm going to take advantage of him, and I'll trick him because I can speak Greek.
Well, that's what you don't want. Can he really speak Greek?
I am. Well, he can, but I am open to reading way too much into this. I'm open that that's a possibility. But when he says, you know, in meetings, sometimes we'll have meetings and then we'll turn to the side and start speaking in Greek and people have no idea we're talking behind their back. Yes, they do. If you're in a meeting with people, like when I was reffing soccer games and I'm reffing soccer games and these two guys start talking Spanish to each other and looking at me, mm-hmm. I know they ain't saying anything good.
Yeah, well,
otherwise, they'd say it in English.
See it in movies all the time.
All right, here's another part of the Finding Giannis special, Chuck, which really rubbed me the wrong way about this agent. It was about a commercial shoot they were doing, I believe the shoot for the T-Mobile, Metro. And I believe this is from that, but this is him explaining a commercial shoot.
We've got a TV commercial shoot. Finished a deal 3 days ago, signed the contracts. I've got an 8-hour production shoot, so we've got about 100 cast and crew here and... Drove up from Chicago, make sure everything is going okay.
You know the spot, right? He said...
In this instance, they had a creative concept that he's going to be throwing the ball off the backboard and doing a reverse dunk.
It's just a matter of, like, your comfort level with what you want to do.
We play around with it and see how he feels, yeah.
Okay.
I said, guys, you know, this is the MVP candidate. There will be no dunking whatsoever. No dunking at all. And the conversations were, well, we're paying him to dunk. I said, no, you're paying him to be a brand ambassador. You're not paying him to dunk. At the end of the day... I made sure to set the expectations extremely low so that when he does do a couple dunks, they love it and everything ends up being great.
I mean, come on, guy.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have to...
What a magical trick you played, guy.
Yeah. Again, you know...
In the commercial, Giannis plays horse and he dunks, and that's the joke. And now you're saying, I didn't pay you the dunk. I'm paying you to be a brand ambassador.
What are you hoping to get out of this? I mean, with his agent. You're hoping that he's not going to screw Giannis. He's not going to screw Bill Bucks. He's going to screw something up where Giannis is not a Buck anymore. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know how Giannis feels about this guy. He obviously feels good about him.
He's like family to him.
Okay, well,
I just, in a 30-minute show, I got a bad vibe from his agent, and if Giannis ever does leave, I'm going to blame his agent. I got a bad vibe from him. I don't like
But ultimately, the agent tells Giannis, Giannis, what do you want to do? And then Giannis makes the decision.
Or the agent makes Giannis make the decision with manipulation.
Giannis is an agent's going to do how he feels he's going to make the most amount of money.
Yeah, agents look out for their bottom line.
Absolutely.
Not their clients.
Of course. But what bothers me is this guy's not an NBA agent. He doesn't have any other clients.
I don't know who else his clients are. His other clients are probably Giannis's brothers.
Well, then that's not good. You know, I don't know. I mean, if this is some guy that Giannis came over there, they Giannis met by dialing a phone book and picking this guy.
Well,
I don't know.
There's a little more logistics than that.
I don't know. Well, I don't. Again, there's so little we know about this guy.
It's the first time I ever saw him.
Yeah. Well, as long as he keeps him a Milwaukee Buck and there's a fair price. Not much negotiating that's got to be done between the Bucks and Giannis. Giannis, here's the max deal. Do you want to stay? Okay. There you go.
I didn't get a good vibe from it. Yeah. Wanted to see if anybody else felt the same. You guys can chime in social media at 105.7 FM, The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.